And in 2 weeks, the choir will present their Christmas cantata based on the hymn of the same name, How Great Our Joy. And I want this season to be the season that you genuinely proclaim how great our joy. And as I mentioned last week, we need to stop trying to capture the world's version of the Christmas season. We need to return to the celebration of Advent. Instead of focusing on presents and parties and Santa Claus, we need to focus on prayer and scripture and the coming Messiah. And when we recapture the spirit of Advent and not the commercial spirit of Christmas, perhaps then we will be able to exclaim how great our joy. So you may not be there yet, but we're going to practice and get you ready for it. So I'm going to say how great our joy, and you're going to repeat it together and say how great our joy. Ready? How great our joy. How great our joy. Yeah. How great our joy.
How great our joy. How great our joy.
You can't do that without smiling. Try to say it frowning. I dare you. And shouldn't we be full of joy? Shouldn't we be the happiest people on earth? But how many would fill out a survey and say Christians are the happiest people on earth? We don't act that way always, do we? But we should be. And why? Because we have this. From Isaiah, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And from Matthew, we heard earlier, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And just to let you know, if it's Emmanuel with an I or Emmanuel with an E, it's the same. But we have God with us. And one of the joys of Christmas is that we have God with us. And I don't think we fully understand this concept. You see, we are not merely pawns that act according to the whims of some distant gods. We have a God who created us in his image. In Genesis, then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." So God created mankind in his own image. And the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Do you see the last part? It was very good. If we were going to go back and look at each of the days of the creation story, at the end, God saw it and said that it was good. But after he created mankind, he said it was very good. You see, we are special to God because we are made in his likeness. And God gave mankind a special dominion over the earth. He created a special garden, and there he walked with Adam and Eve. In Genesis 3, it says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day." Did you ever think that part of the reason you were created was to be in relationship with God? A part of your purpose, the reason you exist, is to be in a relationship with our Father, the Creator, God Almighty. God wants to walk with us. God created us to have a choice, to choose a relationship or to not choose a relationship. But as we know from the story of the fall, sin changed that relationship. Sin became a barrier. And we were banished from the garden. And that relationship was broken. And from that time on, sin would change the relationship between God and man. And God would find favor in those who had tremendous faith. He found favor on Noah and his family. And later he found favor in a man called Abram, later to become Abraham. In three separate passages, Abraham is called a friend of God, including when God himself spoke through the prophet Isaiah. But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend. Second Chronicles, it is written, our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And James, the brother of Jesus, writes in the New Testament that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. See, God wants all of us to have a meaningful relationship with him. And through his friend Abraham, God had a plan. First, his covenant was the covenant of circumcision, which was an outward symbol of faith. Then there was the covenant of the law. Laws that defined the relationship between God and man with each other. But see, neither of these had the ability to truly change the hearts of men. But God made a promise through his covenant to Abraham to bless us through his descendants. A plan that would allow for the circumcision of the heart. A plan that would write God's law on the hearts of man. A plan that would allow all people to be restored to relationship with God. And that plan was for God to come to us in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. Matthew 1, it says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. God came down to be with us. He was born as one of us, a tiny, little, frail human. He was so frail that Joseph and Mary had to flee to Egypt to save the child's life. And because of God's love, this little child came to us. He grew to be a powerful teacher. He grew to be a miracle worker. And through his life, he gave us the example of how to live in relationship with the Father and with each other. But most of all, he came to demonstrate the Father's love and to become our sacrifice. To be the means to save us from our sins and allow us to have a relationship with God. A relationship where we can experience his grace, his mercy, his love. How great our joy. This relationship is more than just following rules. This is supposed to be a life-changing relationship. And when Jesus left us and ascended to heaven, we were promised the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity of God. Jesus was the physical part of God with us. And the Holy Spirit is the part of God that lives within our hearts. And when we fully surrender to God, we allow the Holy Spirit to transform us. It's supposed to change how we live. And if we have God in our hearts, if he is with us in our hearts, how can we not exclaim, how great our joy? With God in our hearts, we are forgiven. How great our joy. With God in our hearts, we are no longer slaves to our sin. How great our joy. With God in our hearts, we can live differently. How great our joy. With God in our hearts, we have a direct, personal relationship with a God who hears our prayers. A God who will lead and direct our lives. A God who will provide us peace, comfort, and strength in all situations. How great our joy. And this promise isn't just for this life. This promise is an eternal promise. This promise means that even though our mortal bodies might die, we can live forever in the presence of God. How great our joy. Revelation, it is written, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" How great our joy. He continues to say that he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." And then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." How great our joy. And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." And when we have faith in Jesus Christ, we are saved from the second death. How great our joy. I don't know about you, but that's a lot of things to be joyful for. That God loved us. That God continually throughout history has wanted to restore the relationship with his creation. That he wants for us to become his children. And that through Jesus Christ we can be adopted into his family as his children and have these eternal promises. How great our joy. Say it with me. How great our joy. How great our joy. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Thank you. Amen. She must be looking at her clock. Yes, I believe it. Let's go. But really, do you believe it? Because if that's what you believe, we should be the happiest people on earth. It should be on our hearts for people who don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. It should burn us to say they don't know Jesus. They need to have the joy that I have. I need to share with them this great gift that has been given to me. I need to tell them about the little baby in the stable who escaped the terrible death that Herod brought. That baby who came and stood in front of the teachers as a young boy and taught them with knowledge that they couldn't believe. The man who grew up to be a carpenter. The man who called some no-name people from a boat and said, "Follow me." The man that opened up our eyes to the scripture to see the love of God. And to understand that we have to be in right relationship with God. And that means we have to get rid of sin. We have to get sin out of our lives. For our God is a holy God. Our God is a just God. And in the end, there are two choices. Those who have chosen a relationship with God, and those who have not chosen a relationship with God. Eternal life or the second death. It's not something we're comfortable talking about. But that is why we have Advent. That is why Jesus Christ came to us. He came to be our sacrifice. So that when we go to Him and say, "Lord, forgive me of my sins. I turn my life to You." That He will forgive us. And when we surrender and say, "Lord, I give You my all. My all. My heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength." And if we say, "Fill me with Your Holy Spirit," His Holy Spirit will come to you. And He will begin the transformation process. And start to change your life. So that you can be full of joy. So that you can know His promises. To know you are forgiven and redeemed. And today, right here, right now, you have a choice. You have a choice to come up and just take a piece of bread and dip it in a little bit of the juice and walk back to your seats. Or you have a choice to come to this altar that Jesus Christ invites you to and say, "Fill me, Lord. I surrender. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Fill me with Your joy. Make me new. Make me different. I want Your promises." And if you come here with that heart, God will begin to change your life. And we as a church will begin to change. Disney's known as the happiest place on earth, right? And to some of you, I think it is. But this should be the happiest place on earth. Where we meet and worship God. Where we fellowship and love each other. And where we go from here to go reach those who do not know Christ. This should be the happiest place on earth, and this should be the happiest time of your whole month. When you get to come to the Lord's table and experience the grace and the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ. And that little baby in that manger, some 30 years later, shared a meal with those nobodies. And he knew the next night was going to change everything. And he continued to teach them and love them, even knowing everything that was going to happen. God loves us, knowing everything that we have done and everything that we will do. And he continues to love and teach us. And Jesus took the loaf, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you." And likewise, he took the cup and he gave thanks to God. And then he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Drink from this. This is the blood of the new covenant, shed for the forgiveness of sins." But this cup wasn't just for his disciples. This bread was not just for his disciples. It was for you and it was for me. And God invites us to his table. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how great our joy that you loved us so much that you would send a part of yourself in the form of your Son, Jesus Christ, to be a living sacrifice for our sins. Lord, we have not always been the people that you have called us to be. Lord, there are many times that we have let you down. Oftentimes we have acted in ways contrary to your love. So many ways we have often failed to take action where action was needed. Lord, we haven't always shared your love. We have not always shared the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, so that others may share in this joy that we have. Lord, we take this time now in reverent silence to come to you, to offer to you our sins, to ask you for forgiveness, and to fully offer ourselves to you. Heavenly Father, your word is true. Your promises are true. Your decrees are true. And your scripture tells us that if we come to you and confess our sins, that you are faithful and just, that you are merciful, that your Son, Jesus Christ, by his blood will blot out our transgressions, that through your Son, Jesus Christ, we can be restored to right relationship with you. Lord, we offer to you these sins today and ask for your forgiveness. And to all the people here, through our Lord Jesus Christ, I proclaim to you that we have been forgiven. Lord, this table has been prepared and your invitation has been made. Lord, we ask for you today that this becomes more than just bread and juice, that these elements become for us the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, so that we as your church may become the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood for the transformation of the world. Lord, allow your Holy Spirit to maneuver here today. Allow us to truly feel his presence. Allow us to truly receive your gift. Let us leave here as changed people. All of this is asked, said, and prayed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.